Good evening. Welcome to the HIV.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Welcome to the HIV Hour on this Thursday evening. We're in virtual studio and we're with, who am I with today? Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners? I'm Josh, by the way.
Oh, I thought you were Josh. I'm Sue, everyone. Lovely to, not see you, but to be talking to you tonight. Mm.
And hello, my name's David, and I'm sorry if for listeners that were tuning in last episode, I pressed some wrong buttons and the episode, it wasn't recorded. So apologies to our two guests, Angelina Namibat and Stephen Hart. Well, we look forward to having you on the show again soon, and sorry to listeners.
Yeah, it happens, David. I said that.
It's just one of those things.
It's technology and the...
Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of those things. So yeah, how is everyone? May I ask, or what's been going on? If you want to mention anything, Sue.
Everything's good. I mean, it's nice. I know we're all going to be talking about the weather again, aren't we? We're going to be now talking about it. It's raining, isn't it? But you know what? Hopefully, it's going to get sunny again soon. But yeah, so it's going to be a bit fresher, and our plants are going to get watered and what have you. But no, all good. I'm doing good. I've been busy with work. I've also got my two little, because we're on Zoom, not everyone can see, but I've got my two little new kitties who are getting bigger and bigger and eating me out of house and home. So they've kept me very occupied.
What's the names?
Pardon?
What's the
names? Sky and Bluebell. Bluey for short, named by my grandson. I have to always say that because, Nanny, I made that name, so I always have to say. But, bless. So, yeah, they keep you busy, but, don't they do great for your mental health, David? I know you
Oh, they do. I wish I could have kittens all year round. I do.
Maybe that's what I need.
I haven't got enough room for them, though.
Maybe that's what I need in my life.
Yeah, I've got three cats already, and yes. Yeah, I'd love more kittens, but not until, yeah, not for a while.
I mean, they're very independent cats, aren't they? As well, they kind of.
I don't miss being all the scratches from kittens, all the scratches on your hands and everything like that. But just them scampering around and just being daft is lovely. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of jumping around and being daft, how are you, Josh? What have you been up to?
How are you, love?
I've been jumping around and being daft.
Oh, wonderful.
What shape or form?
Well, yeah, so yeah, that's what I've been doing. So anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you, David.
So we haven't actually spoken to our listeners since Zero Stigma Day. So there was a fantastic event in Brighton and Hove at Jubilee Square with Lunch Positive present and the Stigma Warriors from Sussex Beacon. I popped down to the square briefly because I was chaperoning the wonderful a friend of the show, Ian Montgomery, who came down with the U community quilt. Put up in the Eliza Marsingdale building at the county hospital where the Lawson unit is. So not only did the HIV positive patients see it, but all the other patients and staff saw it as well. Yeah. So everyone was really taken aback by it, actually, because there's over 4,000 photographs of us three and others, and Stephen and Angelina and Philip.
I think
was in there as well.
It was great.
And then,
sorry, David, was Ian happy with the day? Do you know?
I think so. He had a lovely welcome. Everyone was so pleased to see him and the quilt, and I think he was really proud to show it off in Brighton as well, because we'd seen it in Liverpool at the HIV Association conference, hadn't we? And we thought, we must get this down to Brighton. And I think it was worthwhile. I think I would like to get it down again, maybe for World AIDS Day, and have it up for longer than just one day, perhaps in the library or somewhere else like that.
And he wants people to add to it. It's still going, isn't it, the project?
Yes, it is. So they're still having stitching parties, and people, you can still submit your photographs. So you have to be a sort of living with HIV or an ally of people living with HIV. If you go to Positive East website, and there's a page there about the quilt, you can upload.
Sorry, can I just ask you a quick question about that, David? So that means we could put forward a square to go on the quilt. Have I understood that right or not?
So you, me, Josh, we're already on the quilt. Had our photographs taken at the British HIV Association in Brighton. Yes. That's when they started recruiting. Mm-hmm. But they're still accepting new pictures. So you don't have to have a photograph session or anything like that. You just find a picture of yourself that you're happy to be publicly displayed. And you will be identifiable as living with HIV as part of that project.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can just go to Positive East website and you can upload a picture there.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? It's just a great project.
Oh, so we've also had Pride, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah, God. So I was working over Pride. I was working at the HIV The Naked Truth exhibition, which was an exhibition of naked HIV activists and an HIV doctor. So that was very well attended. We had the mayor come to the private view, and we managed to, again, we raised over £400 there for Positive East. And prints are available still if you want to go to HIVthenakedtruth.com.
Brilliant. Pride was, I think I crashed after Pride. So it was just a long, long weekend.
Long weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. It was so hot as well, which I found.
It was very hot. I mean, because I was marching.
Were you? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I know. I turned up at the last moment. I thought, oh, it looked at me and said, oh, God, you're here again. No, it was a loss. I thought everyone was going and I wasn't actually doing anything on that Saturday. And I thought, you know what? With everything that's going on at the world at the moment, and I just wanted to say, you know what, I'm here for everyone, you know, and I made a point in doing it, and I enjoyed it. I absolutely enjoyed it. We had the hat came out. I mean,
oh yes, your pink hat.
The hat came out, and so obviously marching and protesting, as I say, with our, obviously my charity, the Terence Higgins Trust, and it was really, and again, like all the organisations in Brighton, Josh, you know, you get so much love, you know, people were, you know, blowing us hearts and kisses and doing this, you know, to say, as if to say they had a connection, they knew, they were saluting us, what we do in the city, and we do like a lot of, you know, the amazing organisation, but I really felt the love, we always do, and it's great to be appreciated, isn't it, David, you know, because we do amazing things, don't we, guys, and it's so nice. People to be recognised and to say, you know, and they were doing this and they're going up to say, and they were, honestly, it was lovely.
I was, this is not to do with Pride, it's to do with Pride, but it's to do with how the world is just looking at stories and the amount of just hate and what people are doing, LGBTQ, and it's just horrible. It's just, I actually don't get it, to be honest, but people are people. And it makes you feel really, I don't know what it is. I just feel really.
The only thing to counter the hate is love. And that's what it's about, is love, the right to love, isn't it?
If you let it get to you, it's not, you have to rise above it. And as you say, stand your ground and speak So shall we have a song and then we'll come back with some, we've got some news, haven't we? And we're just going to go through news this episode. Yeah. You chose this track, so what can you...
It's one of my favourites. I love it and I won't stop loving it. It's by Sia and it's I'm Unstoppable. And, you know, as activists, we're unstoppable, but we're not just because we're activists, because we're human beings and we want to stand up for the right, because, you know, we're unstoppable. We've just been saying, how do we break that stigma, is to keep doing what we're doing on the radio, keep doing what we're doing within our work, within our communities. And we're flipping unstoppable and I love it.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. What a fantastic song, Sia, with Unstoppable. You're listening to the HIV Hour on RadioReverb.com on 97.2 FM in the Brighton Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. If you go to just search your podcast platform of choice. You can listen to all our previous episodes and some fantastic guests and things we've had. We have our own website, which is hivhour.org.uk. And if you wish to contact the show, please do. And we'd love hearing from you. That's info@hivhour.org.uk. www.pride.uk. Something else I didn't mention I did after Pride was I helped support Stephen Hart and his fantastic one-man autobiographical show, Shadows Dreamer. And he brought it down to Brighton, and I sort of just helped him out by doing the house lights. But we managed, not only did we have a fantastic audiences both nights at the Lantern Theatre in Brighton, but we also had bucket collectors collecting for the Sussex Beacon, which will be the first LGBT hospice with HIV specialism in the country. That'll be the ward, the inpatient unit will be opening up in March of next year. So we raised over £400 for that, which is great.
Went to see you went to see it, Sue, didn't you, on the day before?
Went on his first night, yes.
Oh, so good, so heartfelt, and I love the way he... It was just like he was talking to friends.
Yeah, that's a good pun, that heartfelt.
It's very heartfelt.
It's Stephen Hart, yeah.
He just felt like you were going through his life journey, and you felt so like you were there, really, and how he presents it is amazing, really. So well done, Stephen.
He's such a great speaker, isn't he? And also, on that note, he's appeared on BBC London News.
He was on last night, wasn't he? It was last night. Sorry, Wednesday.
It was this week, yeah.
And that's about his once a week tablet, tablet, isn't it? Has it been rolled out then? I'm not too sure about it.
It was announced at the Rio conference. Personally, I don't know if I'd take a 1 week tablet.
Yeah, how would you feel?
Because if I was to miss a dose or forget it, I don't know. Obviously, how the levels of the drug stay in it. But I take so many pills anyway, and I don't take an all in one pill. It's three pills, and I just rather take them every day because I take other things as well. So
what about you, Sue?
I wouldn't mind because I take the statin because one has asked us to do. So I take a statin and I take another tablet and I take them every day. So just to take, and I can't even take those with my HIV meds. So I have to take, I would be up for the one pill a day because I'm not yet eligible for injectables, which I want to go on because they haven't got the component of medication and the injectables yet.
Right.
That would okay with me, so I would be definite. If the one pill came in before that, I would be jumping on it for me. It's not going to work for everyone. You've just said that reason, David. And everyone will have a different opinion. I mean, I would definitely jump on it, but it wouldn't be for the same.
So many different ways, isn't there? Now it's about injectables again, so it's working fine for me, and everything's fine. So it's what works well better for you, actually, doesn't it? Yourself.
So many treatment options now.
So we're going to play the interview that Stephen did for the BBC, aren't we, David?
Yes, we are. Thank you to BBC London.
Yes.
It's well worth listening to.
So here he is.
Hello, I'm Asad Ahmed. Thousands of people living with HIV take a daily pill to manage the virus. It is effective, but taking the pill daily can present problems. But now, after a global study conducted with the help of a University of London professor, the daily pill could become weekly. Lakshmi Gopal has been finding out why that matters.
After being diagnosed with HIV 20 years ago, Stephen had to adjust to the idea of needing medication every single day for the rest of his life. But a new tablet could soon change things.
Every time I took my medication, I was reminded that I was living with HIV, and it was something that I was ashamed of and that I knew other people had stigma against. So the fact of taking a tablet once a week, instead of taking a tablet seven times a week, mentally, I think it will make a huge difference to people.
HIV treatment has now taken a big step forward, with the first ever weekly tablet being found to be just as effective as daily pills in an international clinical trial. London Professor Chloe Orkin is part of the team behind the research.
what we've seen in other conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and osteoporosis is that that has massively improved their ability to keep taking the pills, giving them a weekly pill. And now we're in a situation where we can offer such an innovation to HIV and help people to stay on their treatment, because staying on their treatment helps them to live well, and it also prevents people from passing it on.
According to government data, around 40,000 people in London are living with HIV. It's calculated that around 1,200 of them are undiagnosed, living with HIV without knowing it. For those on treatment, the once-a-week tablet could make a big difference, especially for people with HIV-associated conditions who are taking other pills too, and those for whom the injectable treatment isn't suitable. For Stephen, this progress is just part of the picture.
As many advancements as has been in the drugs, in the treatment, stigma is still the biggest thing for people living with HIV, whether it's on dating websites, whether it's people you meet, you know, there's still a lot of misunderstanding about what HIV looks like. It's great that we're moving forward, but there's also a lot still to do.
The study will continue further, and if successful, it'll add another valuable treatment option for those living with HIV. Lakshmi Gopal.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
Oh, that was interesting listening to Stephen there on the BBC. Just
it
good
was,
to know.
Isn't it?
Gets out there nationwide, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's good to get it out there.
It is good. Yes, I've said it. Yay. Good to get it out there. So hundreds of people live with HIV that are resistant to all other treatments, which is another form of what people have to go through, will now receive a life-saving new drug on the NHS. While existing antiviral treatments work for most people with HIV to help them live long and healthy lives, there are a very small number of people for whom the virus has not responded to conventional treatments. Do you know anybody? I've got a couple of people I know.
I have a drug-resistant part of HIV. So I didn't take my combination therapy as I should have done back in the early noughties. And then my HIV became resistant to those drugs, so I had to go on to stronger drugs with more side effects. So that was a lesson well learned, really, for me. You have to take your medication as prescribed.
So the new trial, sorry, David, the new drug is called lenacapavir. I was getting that wrong. Which is trailblazing. It's been used, and it works by targeting the virus's protective outer shell, known as the capsid, to prevent it from reproducing. So the novel approach is different to the way most HIV treatments work. It targets the enzymes that the virus uses to make copies of itself.
Oh, I love it when you get all sciencey.
Especially when
apparently, I've just read that there's reportedly 92 eligible patients and that number is expected to rise to around 300 over the next 3 years. So obviously they're going to gradually implement it on there, which is fantastic, isn't it?
The treatment, the breakthrough treatment, because it's really effective, is first of its kind. It's administered as a combination of daily pills followed by long-lasting injections. Similar to what I do with the injections of the cabotegravir and rilpivirine. Mm-hmm. So you start off with the tablets to see if you are resistant to it, and then obviously you go on to the injectables, which is great. And then patients initially take a tablet, like I've said, then go on a before switching to a biannual injection. So that's quarterly, isn't it? Is it?
Mm. Twice a year, biannually.
Biannually, it is. That's amazing.
Gosh. Yeah.
Really good.
I'm thinking about that. Oh, so that's good.
Wonderful, isn't it?
What do you think, David?
I think that's brilliant. I mean, for people who have HIV, which is highly drug resistant, it will be a lifesaver. It will be a lifesaver because people, I don't think people realize these days. I mean, obviously we know, but people don't realize that there is no cure for HIV. Treatment is so successful that it doesn't often appear in the news, apart from articles that Stevens has done. People think, oh, is HIV still a thing? Oh, yes, it is. It's not going away.
When I'm out there on the road, Yes, that's still around.
So, you know, for people who have used, you know, whose HIV has become resistant over time, or they've had it for a long time, or they've been infected with a drug-resistant strain, the options for treatment for them are limited. So this is, it's not a cheap drug, which is why it's taken a while to be approved, but it will save those people's lives. Yeah.
Because they're undetectable, aren't they? So they're detectable.
That's the goal.
I've got a, this is from the article. One person who's already benefited from this treatment, she's called Jane. She was born with the HIV infection and was prescribed multiple different medications throughout childhood and developed a fear of swallowing large tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, developed resistance to the first-line HIV treatment. So the medical team has put her on injectable lecanemab. Get that right. And it's worked for her. She's undetectable now, and she's a lot better now. So she says, I'm not worried anymore and feel a lot happier. I'm so pleased that more people living with HIV that is resistant to treatment will now be able to get this treatment from the NHS. Yeah. So it all makes a difference, doesn't it? So it's great.
Oh, that's good news. Definitely good news.
So shall we have a song and then come back, shall we?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. So this is my recommendation, and it's Inner City, Stephanie Christian, and Turn Me On.
Hi there, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. You can always access our amazing podcasts at any time.
Fabulous. Just to say that we're sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies, just to mention that. Thank you to Jack Russell.
To them, yes. And his technologies.
And his technologies,
yeah. Speaking of technology, more science. I've got more science. Yeah, so you remember saying that there is no cure for HIV?
Yes.
As we all know. And one of the reasons for that is, despite even though the treatment is so successful that it's prevents the virus from replicating and creating more copies of itself, HIV hides in places in the body where the drugs don't reach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are called reservoirs. There's been an excellent review of research using immune-based approaches to cure, and it's just been published on an open access website. And yeah, so they're looking at all different types of articles, 200 articles, in looking at the latest research involving BNABs, which for people that don't know are broadly neutralizing antibodies, vaccines, checkpoint inhibitors, cell and gene therapies, post-treatment controls and combination therapies. But they're trying to find ways of getting these drugs into places where, you know, HIV hides and lays dormant. Mm-hmm. And then if they can get the drugs into that place, you need to find drugs that then hopefully you don't need to take HIV drugs ever again. So that's they're looking at all there is sort of good news coming along about just the science. I'm not really explaining it very well, but it's just
it's a new way of looking at HIV, how to get rid of it. I mean, the reservoirs are really, I mean, it's a worry. That's what's causes.
There are people called elite controllers, and they're people that don't need to go onto HIV medication until very, very late stage in their HIV journey. So they're looking at these people, looking at drugs and how they can get into these reservoirs. So there's the research that there's over 200 articles, and there's a 29 page document that lists all the sort of common areas of interest where the scientists can work together towards common goals to try and look at other ways of finding a cure, because it's such a simple virus, such a crafty little thing, but it's so delicate and easily killed that there must be a way to make a cure. And let's a big shout out to all the scientists involved. Just keep at it.
Keep going at it. It's also, I haven't noticed, I haven't got the article, but two more people have been cured with the is it bone transplants?
Oh, the stem cells.
That's it. Yeah. So So there's lots of work going on, isn't there, which we have to applaud.
Tons and tons of work, and more than maybe what, you know, when you look at the, I mean, one of the, you know, within the work I do is, you know, we speak to medical students of health professions for the future. I mean, you know, which is fantastic, you know, so we're getting into their minds and brains and normality about HIV.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these people are going on to be all amazing people, you know, surgeons, doctors, you know, dentists and all the biologists and everything, you know, and that's one of the, and we do a lot of this work in Brighton, by the way.
Right.
You know, we do a lot of work with the medical school in Brighton.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I worship them every time I go. I said, you are our future, you know, and we really get them excited. You know, I mean, these amazing people that want to take on all of this amazing stuff, looking after the future health of the UK, you know. So I get very excited when I speak to our, because these are the, you know, these young people are the future, aren't they?
Yeah.
That can come up with cures for cancer, HIV and all those amazing things. So,
yeah. So they've learned so much about the immune system just because of the existence of HIV, haven't they? That's a whole new branch of science.
Yeah.
One to watch.
Yeah.
So I've got, this is a story from Fiji, actually. So Fiji now is the world's fastest growing HIV epidemic, fueled by people injecting methamphetamine.
I was going to say, how is that? Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So Fiji only declared its outbreak in early 25. So after diagnosis had risen by 27% in a single year.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Part of more than 30-fold increase since 2010, said Dr. Jason Mitchell, who heads the country's National HIV Outbreak Cluster Response Task Force. Among people who inject drugs, HIV prevalence has reached around 64%, and the epidemic is now spilling into the wider population. Vertical transmission, which is from mother to child, stands at 18%, far above almost anywhere else, with a baby born with HIV every week.
Really?
Mitchell linked the crisis in part to the culture of sharing the shared bowl used for kava. Now, I don't know if I said that right. Kava, K-A-V-A, a ceremonial drink.
Right.
Oh, really?
So it's parallels in the sharing of needles, even with families. So does that mean they're getting the
HIV drinking? Yeah, so it's a cultural practices of spreading HIV.
Yeah. People begin using methamphetamine. Yeah, sorry, David. Many people begin using methamphetamine by injecting it rather than smoking it. So, yeah. A surveillance study presented by Dr. Dashika Balak, I hope I got that right, of Fiji's Minister of Health, sequenced samples from 278 mostly newly diagnosed people to map transition and check for drug resistance. Most participants were indigenous men, and over half injected drugs. Gay and bisexual men made up just 2%.
Right.
Shows how it affects different communities all over the world, isn't it? And the need for education is key in every single population.
Yeah. But also it says Fiji does not have a needle and syringe program, so
that was my next question.
Yeah,
obviously most of those transmissions are through sharing drug injected needles.
So if they could get that sorted, and you know, that could help. Mitchell warned that stockouts of test kits and HIV drugs are common, while global fund support beyond 2026 is uncertain. Perhaps the greatest crime and shame of it all is that it's all preventable, he said. So
it is. Yeah, I mean, even in this country, HIV is completely preventable.
Yeah,
as we know.
Absolutely.
It's just how, you know, the governments are doing it and treating it, and how much support they get and money and to help with things like a syringe program.
And also when you've got, you know, you've spoken about Fiji now, one of the highest prevalent countries. There's so many other high prevalence countries out there that rely on global support, you know. The highest prevalence space, you know, UK, okay, we can, you know, in the most of Europe, but you're talking about globally, the countries out there that need, because of the amount of prevalence in HIV.
Yeah, and yet you've got the countries withdrawing funds, so like the PEPFAR funds in America. There's been a call for people have experience of how many deaths that has caused globally. So there are studies looking at the impact of that funding withdrawal. It's just very, very short sighted.
It just makes you feel like there's something wrong with you, doesn't it? It makes it like, because they're not funding this. It's like, just gets to you, I think, mentally, I think. And I know we're lucky here, we're all treatments and stuff, but in different countries, it really affects your mental health sometimes.
Every human being is a important, worthwhile life. And to treat people as others, I think is, no.
I'm flabbergasted. And on that note, should we go to a song?
Yeah.
So this is from Steve, because this song was inspired by his project, his show, isn't it, David?
It is. So if you listen to the words, it parallels very much with how he feels about getting his story out there and his desire to perform. And it's a lovely song.
Yeah, so it's Donna Summer and it's live, so it's My Life. So it's a bit of a long version, but it's a great track. We'll see you after this. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com, DAB+. That was a lovely song. Do you know, I've never heard that song, so it's nice to be singing live.
What is it?
Yeah,
and it so goes with how Stephen feels about performing, and he is a good performer.
Is Stephen going to do it again? Do you know? Is he going anywhere else, or what's
at the moment? He's taken a break. He's performed it now at all the cities he wants to perform it at, and I think probably he's the best person to answer that.
Yeah, we'll get him on and talk about it. So. So I've got a story, another one from the US. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro has signed Senate Bill 45, removing HIV from the state's criminal code and ending HIV-specific sentencing enhancements that could increase charges for people living with HIV. So that was signed on the 20th of July. And so before the bill, the Senate bill, people charged with prostitution-related offences could face harsher penalties if they were HIV positive. While such cases were typically misdemeanors, the enhancement meant someone living with HIV could be charged with a felony punishable by up to 7-year prison sentence.
Really? Wow.
Advocates have long argued that HIV-specific criminal penalties do not improve public safety and instead deepen stigma, including by discouraging testing and treatment, which you can imagine that's what it would do, wouldn't it? Criminal penalties for living with HIV have never served an effective law enforcement purpose. No credible research has ever linked penalties with reduction in HIV transmission. And that's Rhonda Goldfein. I hope I've got that right. This is from the Pennsylvania Capital Star. So I don't know what you think, David, about that. I mean, it's so...
I think what you're saying is... Yeah, it further stigmatizes people living with HIV, isn't it? And as that sort of blame and judgment about living with HIV, it's not nice. I don't like it, but I'm glad that they're repealing it.
Mm. Yeah, Congress removed these funding requirements in 2000. Oh, there's still 26 states in America still have laws criminalizing HIV transmission or perceived exposure and or mandating HIV-specific sentencing enhancements.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's willful, so there have been in cases like the awful case in Washington in this country with the man who was deliberately giving HIV to people, I think that can be covered under existing laws. I don't think that, it's obviously almost, I don't know if it's GBH or ABH or whatever existing laws do, but I don't think you need a specific law against HIV transmission.
Yeah, I suppose it's such a delicate situation and every case is different, isn't it? So it's...
Yeah, it is very difficult, even within our country and the UK and Europe, it's... Even though things have changed, I mean, things have got to be in place now as they weren't before.
Yeah.
If someone is living with HIV on effective medication, and it seems that that cannot be passed on, but that goes in favour of the person that's been accused, and things like that. So we've still got ways. We've still got a way to go, but things are getting better, but not you know, where we want it to be fully at the moment. But there are lots of things in place now. Because of the science about the medication not being able to be passed on. So, yeah, I know we've had some not very some ugly cases throughout the last couple of years, haven't we? But,
The criminal laws and sentencing enhancements in the US states is from the 90s.
Very outdated.
Before treatment. Before treatment.
So they probably need to be...
So obviously before treatment, you could argue that to willfully give somebody HIV is attempted manslaughter. Because it, you know, we know that people with long-term HIV will have shorter lives, and we don't use the term AIDS so much these days, but AIDS was the killer. So, you know, you're almost wanting, you know, if you were pre-1995, if you were deliberately giving HIV to people, you were trying to kill them. But obviously, since the science and the fantastic success of HIV treatment, and with PrEP and, you know, U equals U and treatment as prevention and post-exposure prophylactics and all the rest of stuff, it's a very different picture. So the laws need updating.
Yeah, definitely. It says in 4 states, such laws may require sex offender registration as per the Movement Advancement Project. Against stigma again, isn't it? There, possible.
I mean, do the same laws apply to syphilis?
Yeah, or hepatitis.
You know, that's you know, without treatment, syphilis can be a killer. But that's obviously it's syphilis is again entirely treatable.
Very interesting, isn't it? How other countries...
Viewers, if you've got an opinion, please do let us know.
What your thoughts are, you know.
Yeah, we love hearing from you. And if you've got song requests, please do. And ideas for stories, please email us at info@hivhour.org.
Yes. We've got a really community news, David, over your end.
Yes, I have. So Brighton and Hove Libraries are hoping to showcase some poems by people living with HIV, or people who were have passed away and were living with HIV. Please do email us at info@hivhour.org.uk if you know of any poems or people that have written poems about living with HIV or how it's affected Brighton or any community. Hopefully we will be putting them on display with some information boards around a World AIDS Day this year. So this project is organised by Glenn Stevens, who was part of our team at Mortimer's and HIV. Yeah. So it's carrying on with that.
Fabulous. So that's, I mean, I was going to talk about that. I mean, I know it's still August, but it'll come fast, the World AIDS Day, won't it? So that's a few months away, but it's all gears up again to get busy again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Any other community news?
So Lunch Positive has got their Eastbourne event, lunch on Saturday, the 5th of September. So if you want to put that in your diaries, it's the first Saturday of every month. And, of course, every Friday, the night after our fantastic show is aired, it's on at Dorset Gardens Baptist Church, Dorset Gardens in Brighton.
Yeah, it's a good lunch, that, isn't it? How long's... I mean, we've had Gary on long... How long has it been going, Lunch Positive? It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Well over 10 years. Maybe even 15. I'll have to research that and look it up. In fact, it'd be nice to have Gary back on the show again, because I know...
Yeah, let's get him on.
They're always doing new things and looking at new ways of working with people and supporting people.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if anybody would like to keep fit a little bit, so I actually facilitate a swimming group. So we swim on Tuesday lunchtimes and on Thursday mornings. So the Thursday morning is a bit early, about 8 o'clock. Tuesday lunchtime is about 1 o'clock. You have to be living with HIV to join the group. The swimming pool do not know we're living with HIV. We just turn up. And you don't have to be a great swimmer. We have swimmers of all abilities and ages. We've got, I think I'm one of the youngest swimmers at the age of 56. I think our eldest swimmer is 78.
Yeah, rubber rings in that, okay.
Yeah, armbands.
Yeah, so I use a swimming flotation device. I use a one of these tubular noodles I put around my waist.
Oh yes,
back
yes,
straight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have our own little. We're allowed to use a separate changing room to everybody else. Mm-hmm. We can change discreetly. So if you have any sort of leg braces or mm-hmm. extra space. Get in touch with us at the show again, info@hivhour.org.uk, and I'll respond back to you and tell you more details.
I'm asking you this, David, don't you do like positive meditation walks as well?
The Sussex Beacon have got a mindfulness course so they do the courses, and then after you finish the course you're able to go to continuation sessions, and as part of those continuation sessions, I also lead mindful walks. But you have to have done the mindfulness training to have done that.
Right. Yeah.
Just for confidentiality and all that. I also lead health walks once a month through a community group called Peer Link, and that's for people living with HIV. Again, we've only just done two, so we're still in the pilot stage at the moment. Yeah. And we're not doing huge hikes up mountains. We did one on Sunday, as it happens. We went around Cookmere Haven and just walked from the visitor center at Seven Sisters to the beach and back, which is three miles, all on level ground. But we'll be doing walks once a month, anybody living with HIV is welcome to attend.
And they can contact you through the
show. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
We'll have our own email address shortly.
Brilliant. And Sue, what's happening at Terence Higgins Trust? Your positive voices, does that get a bit busier when the schools come back and the universities? Or
yeah, well, obviously we're in a bit of a hush at the moment, obviously, because education is all on summer hold. I nearly said vacations, thinking I was in the States.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's all very – but, you know, we've still got lots of work coming in. September's going to be a busy – we've got lots of work in for September, so September is going to be really busy. But, we've started to get information in now for World AIDS Day talks, and that's specifically over a lot of corporate organisations, not just in London. I mean, we're doing some stuff in the States as well, some organisations really? In the States, in Australia. Wow. I know.
Is that new then?
Well, we've done a massive History Month, LGBT+Q History Month. We've done a massive event in Australia online.
Brilliant.
I know, it came to us, they wanted to celebrate us.
Wow.
And that's great, because this is the beauty of the digital world we now live in. So many, many years ago, Positive Voices went to do face-to-face, because that's all there was to do. So obviously we had a small group of people we went to see, small group of speakers, but now, because of... you do things on Zoom, Teams, Google, you know, we've got more speakers now that can do, you know, sit at home or sit, you know, in an office and not go out and do that. And also that means we get more business on board, because, you know, they do a lot of lunch and learns and what have you. It's getting exciting. Always is. Always
brilliant.
Is.
So
yeah.
It's great.
Loving it. Yeah, and it's over, it's 20 year, well, it was 20 years last year, so we're celebrating that. There's going to be a big celebration soon in London. Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Yes, all exciting. Yeah. I'll talk about that on another programme.
Let's feature that, because you did amazing work.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to get it out there, isn't it? We've come to the end of the show. Thank you for listening to the HIV Hour. We finish with David's recommendation.
Ooh, David, what you
yeah,
got?
Yeah, so this is Paolo Nutini and New Shoes.
Oh, great track, yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll...
Thank you, everyone.
We'll
take care.
Yeah, take care.
You too.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.